Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Shanghai is one of China's largest and most important business centers. But today, most of the 26 million people there are on COVID lockdown. Omicron cases are rising, and even though they're far lower than many countries, China is staying with its zero-tolerance COVID policy. Let's check in now with Eva Do. She's business and economics correspondent with the Washington Post, our editorial partners, and she is in Shanghai. Eva, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Great to have you. So it seems Shanghai has been deemed too big to shut down. The plan, as I understand it, was to shut down one half of the city at a time, the eastern part first, and then the western part. But that's actually not what is happening, is it?
Exactly. The original plan was to shut down half the city for 4 days and then to switch and shut down the other half of the city for 4 days. And in this process, to COVID test everyone and be able to pull out the people who are infected into quarantine centers. But I guess what officials have found is they are finding maybe more cases than they expected, and they are keeping areas under lockdown that were supposed to come out of lockdown today. So as of today, close to all of the city is under lockdown.
Wow. So is it clear what the situation is in terms of cases? We've been reading the numbers rise, but also seen reports that cases and deaths may be being covered up.
Yes. So the official number is somewhere south of 5,000 new cases a day, which the way China reports it, the vast majority of those they count as asymptomatic cases. So they only claim a few hundred a day are people with symptoms of COVID. So from sort of reports on the ground, it seems like this is maybe underestimating the actual situation.
Yeah, and do we know anything more about this? I think it's a nursing home at the center of a story with very suspicious cases and deaths, potentially people inside and the workers inside being sealed off.
Well, there have been reports of deaths at one nursing home in particular in Shanghai. And what we've seen in the last few days is sort of this surreal scramble for people who have medical conditions or loved ones with pre-existing medical conditions to get them to hospitals and to get some sort of medical care, because the lockdowns did happen with little advance notice, and a lot of places like nursing homes ended up understaffed. You know, employees ended up locked down at home and couldn't get to work. A lot of hospitals just weren't taking people if you didn't have a very recent COVID test. So a lot of people ended up in a dire situation.
So stepping back economically, what did the implications seem to be of a severely locked down Shanghai? We've read some of the big Wall Street banks downgrading their forecasts for the Chinese economy and read about big auto plants in Shanghai and northeast China being shut down.
This does raise concerns about the path forward for China out of the pandemic. Shanghai, throughout the pandemic, was a city that was seen as more on the opening up side, since it's so interconnected with the world. So for Shanghai, of all places, to be completely shut down is quite a worrying signal for how China is going to be able to get out of the pandemic in the near term.
And despite the official shutdown, are some plants, offices still able to keep going? I've read some anecdotal stories about workers sleeping in their offices because they're stuck there, may as well work. Workers sleeping at factories.
Yeah, well, some factories have, to be able to keep production going, they've required that their workers stay there for this duration. And so they live there, they spend their spare time there, they sleep there at night. And so those factories reportedly are still going. For most other ones, they've had to shut down because it's just not been possible to get people in and out each day.
Yeah. Eva Do is correspondent with the Washington Post, our editorial partners, and she's talking to us from Shanghai, which is on lockdown. Eva, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Earlier this week, I talked to an old friend of mine, Kent Kettle. He's a Minnesotan who has been living and working in China since the 80s. Kent lives on the west side of Shanghai, the part that went on lockdown today, and he checked in yesterday with some recorded voice memos.
In other parts of the world, you hear about panic buying and toilet paper and things like that. Here in China, people are very practical. The panic buying has been on vegetables and things like that. And so for a couple of mornings, I've gone to my local market here behind my apartment. I'm almost 2 meters tall. I'm a pretty big guy. But these old ladies half my size are bowling me over to get at the vegetables. They're quite determined.
Now, Kent is assuming this lockdown, at least in his neighborhood, will be pretty strict.
They're saying that when the lockdown starts on Friday, we are not going to be allowed out of our dwellings at all. We have to stay in our apartments. We're not allowed to go out, take a walk. People who have dogs cannot go out and walk dogs. I have that problem. I've got two very large dogs. One of them is about 130 pounds, 65 kilos, and they need to get out a couple of times a day. I'm really not sure what I'm going to be doing at this point. I've gone out and collected two large boxes of dirt that I'm going to, if I can't get them out, spread out on my balcony somehow and create some kind of outhouse environment for them to use. We'll see if that works.
It does make me wonder about apartments with dogs and no balconies. In any event, shutting down a city of 26 million people is testing China's zero COVID approach. Thing is, there may not be a good alternative.
The rest of the world has criticized China for attempting this zero COVID approach, and certainly there have been challenges. However, what is not always known is that China can't afford to do anything else. The healthcare infrastructure, though improving in China, still is not able to handle massive number of cases. And so the very rigorous approach has been an attempt to not overburden the healthcare infrastructure. It's worked for a couple of years. Now that Omicron is here, a much more virulent variant, that is starting to really test the limits.
Americans have seen their own vaccine supplies and hospitals overloaded. But in China, Kent Kettle says pandemic life has been pretty good.
What we have to remember is that for most of the past 2 years, we have been able to live life normally here in China. You know, while much of the U.S. was shut down, Europe was shut down, and you look at Singapore, maybe, you know, for a year, almost 2 years at a time, you couldn't go out, you couldn't socialize, couldn't do anything. We could do that here in China. It was a bubble. And it was designed to be that way. And as long as we didn't leave and we didn't allow people in, we could do things normally. So I traveled all over China. It was a social time inside of a bubble. But if you didn't pay attention to anything outside, it actually was pretty good here.
Now, the cost of pretty good is surveillance in China, being watched and monitored by apps.
There's actually a couple that kind of track you and track where you are. There's a, you know, kind of geolocator based app. So if you are within a certain range of someone who is identified as being an infected person, you're called a close contact. And then there's a process to handle that. Your tests and your vaccinations are also loaded on the app. As an American, initially it was a bit of a shock, I guess, to kind of be tracked that closely. However, in a pandemic, you realize the value of that. You realize that being tracked like that ultimately ensures most freedom, you know, of movement, ironically. And it's taken me a while to kind of get there, but I think it is true.
And for Kent, the fact is China's numbers are very low by global standards. Last month, mainland China reported its first death from COVID in more than a year. In all, China has seen more than 200,000 cases since the pandemic began, compared to 80 million in this country.
So one of the political narratives that the Chinese authorities have been pushing is that China is handling COVID so much better than other countries. And to be honest, people believe it. You know, you look at the stats, look at how many deaths, COVID-related deaths in the U.S. and other countries, and you compare that to China. And yeah, just on that statistic alone, China has actually done quite well.
That's my friend Kent Kettle in lockdown in Shanghai, China.